as a kid, you probably like to explore different places that you shouldn't go. In a recent EPP bonus episode, we hear the story of a presence on a family farm that keeps a child from getting into something he probably shouldn't be getting into, meaning a tunnel underneath the grounds. It is one creepy story, and you'll only hear it on EPP bonus episode number 53.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to be an EPP, get the episode and all of our bonus episodes, and help keep our show on the air. Sign up, click become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, that sounded very Wisconsin-y, episode, we got some ghost stories to tell y'all. A listener describes what it's like when spirits summon him to their location. Could family stress and custody issues cause an entity to be drawn to a home? A phantom black dog seems to have brought on a dog phobia in a family. And a listener shares the horror felt when an event straight out of a movie happens in their living room.
Ooh.
Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. I wonder what movie. Is it like Fargo with the wood chipper going on out there in the... by the hearth or what?
No, it's more along the lines of your favorite movie.
Which one?
Ghostbusters.
Groundhog's Day?
Ghostbusters.
Same thing over and over. Ghostbusters, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot that happened in that movie.
It's actually from Ghostbusters 2.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they make a courtroom and they start shooting the Scolari brothers.
Not exactly.
Okay. This will be exciting. I'm interested in hearing that. It should be noted that right before we started saying the room, Jenny had a great idea. Right before we started starting the show, Jenny said out loud a great sentence. You could make a sausage and call it Krampus.
And the reason I said that is because...
No more context.
No,
that's all.
No.
No, we're done. I'm turning. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
For his... Was it Father's Day or your birthday?
I believe it was my birthday.
I got him a sausage maker because he wants to make sausages.
Charcuterie.
Okay, whatever. And so he was talking about the movie Krampus, and I said that, but he only picks up on the most random parts of what I say and takes them out of context and makes me sound like a lunatic. So.
Well, I said a crazier thing beforehand because we were talking because the sausage maker is sitting off in the corner of the office. And it's one of those things where we just I have to go get the stuff to do it and we'll do it. And it'll be a fun fall project. And I said, yeah, we could make sausage and put it in the girls' stockings this year at Christmas. And the girls would be like, I wish he would have just done Krampus instead. You know? And then that's where you said that you could make a sausage and call it Krampus.
It's not as random as you make it out to be.
It isn't quite, but it's funnier when all the context is not there. But it was a pretty random conversation.
Okay. It was.
Enough about sausage, everyone. Let's talk about quiche. No, I'm kidding. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us here at the show. And incidentally, we would love to hear them because that's what we do here. We share ghost stories. If you are a new listener to the show, it's a year-long program, not just for Halloween. Do it all the time. So you found your paranormal outlet 365. We're not on every day there. 52 weeks of the year. I'll say that we're on every week of the year for sure. Enjoy the horror. Kicking off today with David. David writes in, ever since I was a child, I've always been around the paranormal. As I grew in age, it grew stronger and stronger. Be able to tell you if something was in the room, what they were wearing, and if they were saying anything. I actually had to stop watching the show Medium because it was way too close to my experiences. Well, back in 1993, I had to stop watching Touched by an Angel, too. I had the same...
Okay.
Well, back in... Same with Dr. Quinn. Well, back in 1993, I had a very unusual experience. I was going to Concord College, now Concord University in Athens, West Virginia. I stayed on the 10th floor in one of the dorms and was a music major there. Well, one night, my what I call sensitive was catching up or was acting up. I'd hear something call my name, asking me to come to it. Out of curiosity, I obliged and followed the sound out of the dorms and around campus. As I walked around the campus, I'd see distorted faces watching me in the windows, telling me not to go. Yet not listening, I followed my name. The sound took me to the 50-yard line of the football field, where the sound stopped. I looked around and could see nothing. That's when the feeling happened. Whenever there's something paranormal around, I get this feeling that I'm being watched, followed by what feels like the hairs rising on the back of my neck and a sinking feeling in my stomach. It's there that I'm able to see where the spirit is and what it's doing. Well, I got that feeling, and as I gazed upon a figure coming out of the wood line of the opposite side of the field, a man dressed in black suit walked out of the woods to the edge of the field. He had not seen me yet. When he took notice, he began walking towards me, then running towards me faster and faster. As he ran, his body began to change. He was no longer human, but a beast. I took off running because I was scared to death. I'd never experienced anything like this. As I ran across the field, out into the parking lot, and across the road, the figure, aka creature, stopped and was clinging to the chain link fence that surrounds the football field. The fence was shaking. Shaken, I left and went back to my room where I laid down in my bed. I was physically drained. Weeks later, I got the same returning feeling, a voice calling my name, telling me to come. This time I wanted to take someone with me. I had a friend of mine named Angie who was really interested in the paranormal. At the time, the X-Files was really big, and she wanted to investigate. So I figured she would be the perfect person since it was something that she wanted to experience. I called her up to tell her to meet me outside her dorm since it was on the way to the football field again. As we're walking across the campus, I told her about my previous experience. Again, the faces were in the window telling me not to go. I explained everything as it was happening. When we started to come upon the football field, I told Angie that we'd go in there, but if the same thing happens as before, and if I told that, she needed to run. Not stop, but run. She agreed with me. We walked through the gates, got into the football field, and as we were standing there, I had a feeling come over me. I told her it was happening and to be prepared. Again, the man came out as before. Again, he saw me and began to make his move. I told Angie to run. And as I turned, she said, "No, wait," and grabbed my wrist. I blacked out. When I came to, I was standing out in the parking lot, and Angie was crying. She was terrified. We walked back to the dorms, and she went inside her dormitory. The next day, I got a call from Angie's roommate cussing me out. She asked me what I did to her. I didn't know what she was talking about. Her roommate says, she says, "You were flying off the ground." I played it off. I said, "What, like Superman? That's absurd." Truth be told, I didn't know because I blacked out, but I knew I needed to talk to Angie. After many phone calls, Angie agrees to meet with me and asked her what happened. This is what she told me. "You told me that something was coming out of the woods, and then you yelled to run. What I didn't tell you is before we left to go to the football field, I had the rune of projection in my hand."
Protection.
In my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "When you said run, I grabbed your wrist with that rune in my hand." And she said, "You lifted off the ground." She said, "I literally had to tug of war you out of the football field." She said, "I don't know what it was in that football field, but it is not anything good. It scared me and it really freaked me out. I don't want to do that again." I and Angie never talked again about what happened that night. She just didn't want to, and she never again asked to do anything paranormal. I think she had her fill.
Okay. I kind of blame Angie because David flat out said, "If I tell you to run, you run."
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, do it or you're going to die kind of a thing. And she's like, "Oh, no way. I've got this protection.
Let's try this."
Well, that's real good for Angie. But poor David doesn't even know what happened because it knocked the shit out of him. And so, you know, it's kind of like, if you're going to try that, you need to let everybody in on what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Both people need to be in on that part of the plan.
Yeah.
Especially if one person knows bad shit's about to go down, you can't suddenly go, oh, by the way, I'm changing the plan right now. Surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it's not a good idea. So, yeah, that's not a good way to handle that situation. Well, I guess she got her fill of the paranormal.
I think that's kind of what she gets.
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit of blame to go there. You know, it's something that, you know, this is an experience that no one would, you know, honestly, I think, expect to have happen.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody says, this is weird, let's go check this out. This is spooky. And, you know, you think, okay, we'll go for a little paranormal, you know, rendezvous. And, you know, we walk away going, yeah, maybe we'll get an orb on camera or something. You know, I don't think you really expect that to happen. But again, don't go changing the plan when it's someone else's thing that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, to them. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. My football field as a kid at the high school I went to, when I was in high school, they had to actually refill it with dirt because it started collapsing into the ground because there was part of the Underground Railroad underneath it.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was because there's all these tunnels around my, mm-hmm. my hometown, and they didn't know where half of them were.
Hmm.
And they started finding them. They were doing a lot of Main Street renovation at the time, too, which is right in that area. And they were finding tunnels down there, and they're essentially just filling them in as they find them. And it started, like, sagging the field.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And then they dug, and then, okay, we should probably take care of this little problem.
Yeah.
So they did. I mean, it wasn't like there were people playing and falling into the ground. Like,
did they fill it in, or did they go under and reinforce tunnels?
I believe it was just filled in.
Okay.
I think reinforcing was like just a band-aid or would have cost more than just filling it in.
Yeah.
Plus the tunnels didn't have start and end points anymore.
Okay.
Because that's the thing. These tunnels all had been at some point or another, and some of them just flat out filled in,
mm-hmm.
In different areas. So it was, nobody knew because there really wasn't a record of where these tunnels were in existence. So they were just kind of all spread out. And there's different homes in my hometown and businesses where you know where they are because they've found them, but they all end at a certain point.
Your old radio station.
Yeah, the old radio. My first radio station has part of the tunnel in it,
mm-hmm.
and I remember exploring that many a times when I was bored. Let's go down to the Underground Railroad. This is literally my life. People are like, why are you into the paranormal? I played in a cemetery, and then when I started working in radio, when I got bored, I'd go play in the Underground Railroad.
Yeah.
As a teenager, like, yeah, let's look around here a little bit. It was fun. It's creepy as hell.
It's very creepy.
Weird energy down there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's my life. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And it's always fun. Whenever, you know, we go to town, you know, it was always, you know, one of those things where, hey, let me show you the Underground Railroad. It's not like, hey, let's go to the, you know, the restaurant or something that let's go check this out.
And I'm so not a fan of that building at all.
I'm very at home there.
I'm not at all.
I have a lot of fond memories there. So I don't know. I never really had anything too weird. I had one thing. I had keys move on me once,
mm-hmm.
or I heard the sound of keys down the hall and papers, and I thought it was our news director, and no one was there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can say I've ever had happen. Other people have had other things.
Mm-hmm.
Keyboards, typing, seeing people go by windows, figures, nothing evil per se, you know, nothing like that's trying to get you. It just seems like residents.
Yeah.
That you're sharing the building with. Children laughing. I've heard other people claim that one quite a bit.
Ugh.
Which that's the creepiest one of all.
Yeah, that is. I don't know. Anything that's tied to that much fear.
Yeah.
Fear's the worst.
It's an interesting establishment. In Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Gloria writes in, hi, my name is Gloria. I live in Western Colorado. I've always been very open to the thought of souls being trapped here. And as a child and teenager, I saw many things that were unexplainable, but that's something I'll have to write into your show some other time about. The story that I'm about to share with you happened just a few years ago. I was 22 at the time and just had my first child with my husband, who was at the time only my fiancé. He had a daughter from a previous relationship, and up until a couple months before, we were seeing her every 2 weeks. Her mother at the time got into a fight with us and stopped letting her come over to us. we finally found out that her mother was getting into hardcore drugs. And DHS awarded my husband with full custody of his daughter, who just turned 3. At the time, we lived in a big house with my sister and her boyfriend. I and my husband share the master bedroom with my then 10-month-old son, and the other side of the long hallway across the living room was where there were two bedrooms. One was made up for this 3-year-old princess, and the other was my sister's and her boyfriend's. I could see my sister's doorway from my bedroom doorway, and the little girl was to the left across the room. It's always the bathroom. Anyways, this poor little girl was dealing with a lot of emotional stress. One day while lying in my bed during both kids' nap time, I was looking out my bedroom window and noticed a dark human man-like figure walking straight from the bathroom door into this little girl's room. I brushed it off, hoping that what I was seeing was just my imagination, until it happened not once, but several more times. My stepdaughter started complaining about having bad dreams about skeletons in her closet, and my husband, who's very close-minded about anything supernatural, brushed it off as being from all the crazy custody things we went through. I always knew and had a feeling and thought what it was that there was something more. A few months later, we moved and haven't had anything happen since. I've recently adopted this little girl, and life is better than ever. I've heard of dark entities linking people who are, or liking people who are emotionally struggling before. What do you think? Thank you so much for listening, Gloria.
I think while it was a trying time that something took advantage of that to show up, but as things got better, I bet they saw him less and less and eventually not at all.
Yeah, I think she diagnosed her problem well,
mm-hmm.
And I think it pretty much was what it was. Trying time, lots of emotional energy being expelled, and that kind of makes you, it seems, a bit of an attractive target for dark energy. And it seems that it has, well, hopefully, will stay away,
mm-hmm.
And not come back. But yeah, that seems to be what we hear quite a bit of on this show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, if you like the show, please press subscribe, whatever platform you listen to us on. We are on a lot of them. If you're a new listener, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and Herb's Radio app. I just made that one up. Because there's so many damn apps out there that play podcasts. I don't know.
Podcast Addict.
Yeah, there's that. There's tons of them. So chances are, if there's an app for a podcast, you can probably find us on it. So press subscribe, and it helps us rise up in those rankings. Other folks find our show, makes a better broadcaster than you. You, of course, don't miss out on anything at all. So please do us a favor and just click subscribe. We really do appreciate that. Mike writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm a longtime listener from New Zealand. Absolutely in love with your show, and I often listen to one of your podcasts just before bed. Apparently, I'm masochistic like that. In a family home, there have always been bizarre occurrences. I've always enjoyed listening to music or radio before going to sleep. I heard in one of your podcasts a listener who heard the radio start changing stations, but the knob wasn't moving. I had a similar experience, but the knob was moving without anyone touching it. This didn't just happen at night, though. Sometimes during the day. I even remember it happening when my mom was in the room and she just got irritated without noticing that the knob was moving. This is just a minor example of many odd things that would happen in this house. The main one I wanted to tell you about, though, was when I was about 12 or 13. I had to change rooms in the house and my bedroom was moved to my parents' old one for some reason. Every night I'd sleep in the room. I'd have the same dream. Big black dog bursting into the room and eating my nephew. I dismissed it as a horrible nightmare and tried not to let it affect me too much. But then I noticed that I would only ever have this nightmare in that room. When I slept at my dad's house, I wouldn't have this dream, nor when I slept in the lounge or at the house of a friend. When my 3-year-old nephew stayed at our house, he would often sleep in my bedroom, seeing as my bedroom was the biggest in the house. One particular night, I was sleeping in the lounge with some friends, and my nephew was asleep in my room. I woke up at around 4 in the morning in an absolute panic. I had the dream about the dog in a room other than my bedroom. It was a first. I knew I had to check on my nephew, so I quickly but quietly went down the hall to my bedroom and opened the door a crack to peek in. My nephew was sitting bolt upright in bed, tears streaming down his face and white as a sheet. He was and still is an extremely chatty boy, but the only words he said then were, "Black dog." I moved him out of the room and made him sleep in the lounge with me. I never let him sleep in my bedroom again and was never troubled further by that dream, except for a brand new phobia of dogs, which persists to this day. I've always been a little bit sensitive to these things, but I was never troubled myself. He was clearly gunning for my nephew. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about a possible connection to being sensitive and antidepressants. I seem to be losing touch with my sensitivity while on happy pills, and I was wondering if there was something there. Again, so much love for the show. Have a great night. I have a lot more stories, as does everyone who writes in, apparently, about a potentially homophobic ghost haunting a gay bar. But I may tell you about that another time. Cheers, Mike.
Okay, let's talk about the black dog first.
Okay.
Obviously, this is more than just a dream story, because if somebody else ended up seeing this or dreaming about it, then it's more than one person involved. So I think it's paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some kind of black dog figure probably was in that room.
Sure.
And, you know,
I would be developing a phobia of dogs as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I believe that something was going on there. It wasn't just a dream.
If it had been evil rabbits, I would be afraid of evil rabbits, like Night of the Leapers. Or, uh-huh. Is that what it's called?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the evil rabbit.
It's a bad, stupid movie about giant rabbits eating people.
Yeah, it happens.
So as far as the antidepressant side of that, I don't really know. My logic tells me that as your happy pills, as you call it, are working, that you're less depressed and you're probably experiencing less things,
mm-hmm.
because we tend to be preyed upon more when we're in a worse mental state.
Sure.
So as far as that goes, I could see the correlation there. As far as losing sensitivity, I don't really know.
I would suggest keep up the happy pills,
yeah.
because that's going to, you know, continue to be keeping you in a better state. Obviously, we're not here to make medical advice,
no.
But of course, I would venture to say that most people would want to be in a happier state and less susceptible to anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the paranormal realm.
Sure.
Because, sure, you could have good, but you probably could also have a lot of bad.
Yeah, and I wouldn't ever recommend anybody getting off
no.
their meds, but I could see, couldn't you see that being a correlation there?
Yeah, when we're talking logistics, yeah, I could see mm-hmm. that definitely, you know, essentially making sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily that it's like the medication, I think, that's changing it, the activity, if you will,
no.
around the person. It's that I think the person is working themselves into a better state,
mm-hmm.
you know, mentally and emotionally. Because we just talked earlier, the previous story, people who are tending to be in very troubled times also seem to be targets for these sort of things. So if you're in a better place, naturally, the likelihood of experiencing more of these things or the darker end of things probably goes down.
Exactly.
So I think that does make sense. Interesting observations. Thank you, Mike. Jennifer writes in, "We're coming up on the 5th anniversary of my father-in-law's death in the end of September. He died very suddenly of an abdominal aortic aneurysm that ruptured." Look at that. I said a large medical term. Bam. Like that.
I'm not going to talk about the other words we had to go back and fix already in this episode.
He was a wonderful man with a big heart, and he loved his family and God above all else, and he was always doing everything he could do to help us. He was a big presence when he was here, and he left a big hole in our hearts and lives when he died. And lives when he died. I can't say lives, but...
And lives.
I'm sorry. My husband, his sister... What? But hey, you got to give me points here. Abdominal aortic aneurysm, bam, like that. But lives and lives, going to fuck that up.
Read and read.
All the time. My husband, his sister, and I all went to stay with my mother-in-law for a few months after he passed. We all needed the support. The things we experienced in that house in those few months still cannot be explained and haven't happened before or since. The tissue box and its hard plastic cover flew off the back of the toilet and landed on the other side of the bathroom while my sister-in-law and I were in the living room, and no one else was in the room. We went in together to investigate and found them separated, both a couple feet from the toilet. The shower curtain rod in that same bathroom fell down while no one was anywhere near the bathroom. I did that several times, and each time we'd go in there, put it back up, it didn't fit. It was a kind with the spring inside. It had to be rotated to extend or collapse, and it was always longer than the space between the walls when we go in there to put it back up. No one had it. Not only had it fallen on its own, it seemed like it had been expanded after it fell. The clock radio on my father-in-law's side of the bed turned on, and the radio was playing Stand By Me One Day, and I was there alone. I stopped and stared at it, but it didn't turn off. Just walked out of the bedroom and shut the door. I don't know if it went off by itself or if someone else went in and turned it off, thinking one of us had turned it on. My husband and his sister were home one day watching TV in the living room, and I was sitting out in the back patio smoking a cigarette, and they heard and felt a huge, loud thump that shook the whole house, almost like a sonic boom. They came out back to check on me and look for anything that might have caused it. I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't feel it or hear it. My sister-in-law was home alone one day, and she was in her parents' bedroom going through her dad's things, and the ceiling fan turned on by itself and started going faster and faster and rocking back and forth until it seemed like it was going to break off the ceiling altogether. I think she finally said something out loud and it stopped, but she was petrified about that. She didn't want to talk about it, and she didn't want to go back in there for a while after that. There's a lot of activity in that house during that time, almost daily. I didn't feel like it was old Dad. There were a few things like the radio playing Stand By Me that felt comforting, like Dad saying, I'm still here for you, but a lot of it felt very powerful and very malicious. I want to believe it was Dad. We all did. I think something else was preying on the vulnerable, emotional state in that house. My husband and I bought a home a mile away from my mother-in-law, and she still lives there alone. She hasn't spoken of any experiences since then.
It almost sounds like a frustrated energy.
Okay.
You know, kind of like when you're frustrated, some people throw things or knock things off their table.
Or spin fans uncontrollably.
I don't know. It just, I get the feeling that it's like a frustrated energy. And I would almost attribute that to a very, very sudden, unexpected death, feeling, mm-hmm. you know, very cheated out of that.
Sure. Well, you know, I don't necessarily get the vibe that it's not the dad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily get the vibe that it is the dad. I'm just kind of, I don't think we can exactly say what it is, because these experiences don't, they don't seem to convey a whole lot of negativity, but we weren't there either to feel what was being felt.
Sure.
As these things were happening. I mean, you can have that fan spinning out of control and have a really bad feeling about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a scary thought in general, just a fan flying off the ceiling. Whether there's good spirits or bad spirits or nothing,
yeah,
it's going to make you anxious. I had the fan in here the other week, and it was just the cover that came loose up on the ceiling, but I couldn't tell, and it looked like it was about to fall out of the ceiling, and I was, like, freaking out for a couple minutes till I got on the ladder. But a bad feeling, nonetheless. So it's hard to say. I could see it being the dad, though. I don't want to completely rule it out, because I think frustration would be the emotion he's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how calm and nice of a guy he was in life, something like that happens to you and you're still there. I could see that being a lot of frustration, and especially if you're very limited on how you can communicate your existence to your loved ones.
Yeah, exactly.
And not all ways of communicating are going to be, you know, Stand By Me.
No.
Someday you may turn on the radio and it may be... I'm trying to think of a really inappropriate song. It may be Monifa Touch It, and that would be really inappropriate.
Oh, good grief.
That's taking you back to 1998.
Great.
So, I can't think of anything else right now. I'm so, like, I don't know what the titles of the songs currently playing are, but I know I've heard far too many of them over the course of the summer. Yeah. Maybe, and if you're talking body.
Okay.
Anyhow. So there you go. I think it still could possibly be Dad, but it's good that things have calmed down. Good?
I think let's move on.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hazel writes in, Hello, Jenny and Tony. Before I get to my story, I'd just like to give you guys some information relating to the last time I wrote in, which may indeed confirm Jenny's theory. Whenever I felt the very strong feeling of deja vu, and the one time I saw the flaming steak, it was always in the same place. This matches the theory that I may have been seeing a vision of sorts from my country's history rather than from my own past. Certainly, some interesting food for thought, which has inspired me to pursue my local area's history. Can you give any background on what they're referring to?
Yeah, Hazel's from Ireland, and she had written in about feeling like she was catching glimpses of her past being burned at the stake as a witch.
Ah.
And she had had some of these experiences where she kind of lost vision, and then she would see that. And it, for whatever reason, I just kind of got the feeling maybe it wasn't her past as much as it was just the past in general, being in Ireland.
Sure.
And the huge, you know, part that the witch craze played there, that maybe she's catching glimpses of the past just in general.
Sure. Well, that changes it up in my mind. When I heard flaming steaks, I thought of Ponderosa.
Okay. No, I figured you were thinking meat.
And I was thinking, oh, my town had a Ponderosa in it once. I wonder if there's like ghosts of flaming steaks there.
No.
And endless salad bars.
No, like burned at the stake kind of steak. Okay.
Flaming steaks at the Golden Corral. Do they do steak there?
Uh-huh.
So you can like go to the buffet and get a steak?
Yeah, you can. I've been telling you, the kids would love it.
I'm curious.
Okay.
I've never been to one. Like the last buffet type restaurant like that I've went to, probably Ponderosa back in the day, which I don't know if they even exist anymore.
We'll go and it'll be awful. That's my luck.
Like, what is this? I don't know. I'm open to it. My next story happened to a family member of mine and is one I love to retell, as it is particularly daunting. It starts one night when my great aunt was minding her busy cousin, or her baby cousin. The baby is asleep in her buggy while my aunt sits watching TV. All is normal. That's until the buggy begins to move away from her on all of its own. Oh, Ghostbusters.
There you go.
My aunt grabs the buggy and is terrified when some unseen entity drags the buggy away from her. A terrifying tug of war ensues, ending in my aunt grabbing the now screaming baby from the buggy and running from the house. Then the Ghostbusters logo appears on screen and Dana Barrett is safe with Peter Venkman. The end.
That's not how the story goes.
Fast forward about 15 years later and the same two family members are lying down on one of the bedrooms of the same house chatting. The conversation lulls into silence when, to my aunt's uttermost horror, cousin sits up abruptly and begins to speak a foreign language. She does not recognize the dialect, but guesses it to be Latin. After a minute or so, my cousin's trance-like state breaks, and she lies back down, continuing their conversation as though nothing happened. My aunt questions her, thinking, or rather hoping, she's playing a prank. My cousin is confused, having no memory of what had happened only seconds before. She explains she does not know a word of Latin, and both are left thoroughly freaked out. However, neither entirely surprised, as a rather violent entity resided in that house. Her father would often be attacked by this unseen entity at the top of the stairs. He was kicked, punched, scratched, and on many occasions even pushed down the stairs. Needless to say, I've never visited her house. I hope my story is not going on too long. I'd like to share two more quick encounters which happened in my Nana's house. We're staying there one night and planned to sleep in my aunt's room with her as she had the largest bed. However, when bedtime came about, I was suddenly, and for no logical reason, filled with a feeling of intense dread. I did not know why, but I did know I didn't want to sleep in that room. I begged my Nana to let me sleep with her. Instead, she bemused. She agreed. At night, my aunt was visited by the ghost of a lady. The apparition was transparent and floated a couple inches above the floor. After a couple of minutes, she simply turned around and passed through the bedroom door. Another day, many years later, another aunt of mine had gone upstairs in search for her sister, the same one who I had refused to sleep with that night. When she extended her hand to the door handle, she was shocked to find it so hot she could hardly touch it. She cautiously felt the wood of the door, which was also red hot. No one was in the room at the time, and it was locked from the outside. They thought perhaps that a heater had been left on behind the door, but when it was eventually opened, there was nothing of the sort. they never could find an answer to explain this. Very strange occurrence. I could go on for hours about stories which happened to myself and my family members, but I think I've rambled on enough this time. I'd love to become an EPP soon, but being a student, I don't have a lot of spare cash at the moment. Anyway, keep up the awesome work you're doing. I love the show and the banter between you guys. Love and good vibes from Ireland, Hazel. Hazel, thank you for writing in and sharing that experience with us, and I do hope you can become an EPP soon. We try to keep that cost low at only $5 a month, so almost anybody can do it. It's like a cup of coffee or something, and then you get all the bonus episodes. As far as the experience, there's nothing freakier to me than the idea of some sort of ghost or entity trying to get at your kids. That's just, you know, if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because it's just like, nope, more or less a human, but then the idea of the undead and something you can't see or really control much, that's just a very freaky proposition. I mean, that was one of the freakiest scenes back in Ghostbusters 2, out on the ledge, where you have the little Oscar standing on the corner, and then the ghost carriage lady flies up and takes him, and just that imagery is what popped into my mind here. Or the carriage, you know, moving and darting through traffic. Very, very creepy and very disturbing. I'd be interested to hear if, you know, how things progressed after that, if the child ended up seeing anything or recounts seeing anything now that they're probably a little bit older. If you have any updates on that, we'd love to hear it. Phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you're a new listener to the show and you don't know what the EPP thing is all about, that's our extra podcast person thing that we do. It's a way that we keep the show on the air. It's a listener-supported show. And we give away, or we give you an extra bonus episode every single week. That's the EPP episode, brand new one. Some of the best stories that we get in, we put onto that show. We give it to our EPPs. $5 a month, new one every single week, and you get access to all the archived EPP episodes. There's almost 60 of them now. And also exclusive video content as well. It's $5 well spent, and you keep this show on the air, because the cost of producing this keep going up as we have more listeners, which is a good thing to have more listeners, but cost-wise, we got to support it somehow. So we ask you guys to please, you know, chip in a little to the kitty to allow us to keep having fun and delivering this show to you. 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to Clay in Alabama with a call. Hi, Clay. Let's hear your real ghost story.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Clay, and I'm from Alabama, and I called yesterday about, like, this whole long story, and hopefully that makes it on the air. I don't know if it will or not, because I got cut off in the middle of it. I guess it was too long, and it just kind of cut me off, and I called back right after that and finished the story, so if you make a piece them together, I don't know. It was a pretty good story. It was one of the scariest things that ever happened to me. This one's a little different. I have another story. It's a little different. It's not as scary, and it's not something that's, like, I was listening to your show just a few minutes ago, because when I work, I drive around and a lot and deliver, and I tend to just put in my earbuds and listen to your show. And this one kind of, like, my first little taste of the paranormal, I guess. Like, I knew, I didn't even think about it too much until I was just listening to your show, and something sparked my attention back to that, and I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to call and share the story. So, I mentioned in the other story that my roommate and I, we lived in a different trailer, and his girlfriend lived there as well, and my girlfriend at the time was with us a lot. And we all would go and do those things that I'm making a story about, going and getting scared and everything. Well, and I mentioned about the four of us that we all worked at the same restaurant. And it was my second job. It was their main job. Well, I had worked there for 3 years off and on. I mean, I had already been working there. I just wanted to go back and work a second job with them and make some extra money. So I did for a while. And when I first started working there, before I even met any of them, I was working there. And it was like it was a weird thing, because I didn't really necessarily believe it. But I wanted to share it anyway. I kind of do now, but I don't know what to make of it. So maybe you've got some have some input on. But I was working one night. It was that we worked at a party. And I was working one night, and it stayed so slow there at night that they could have few people on the clock. So after like 7 or 8 o'clock, usually the cashier would go home, and it would just be me and the shift leader, because I was a cook. And it would be like around, we close at 10, so I would say around 7 or 8 when the cashier left, I would start doing some closing duties and trying to get everything cleaned up. And the first night it really happened, I was there and, you know, doing my closing duties, and I thought I'd see somebody standing in the lobby, because you could see where the cashiers take the orders and everything. I mean, you could see out into the lobby clearly, and they could see me making their food. And I thought I'd seen somebody there, so I was back at the sink washing dishes. So I walked over to the other sink to wash my hands, and the sink where the hand sanitizer and hand soap is. And I went back to wash my hands, and I looked back up, and no one was there. So I turned around to my shift leader, and I was like, did somebody just walk in? And he said, I didn't see anybody. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I thought maybe I'm just tired, because I went to college at the time, so I was like, you know, school and work, I'm just tired of just being famous, my mind's playing tricks on me. No big deal. It's whatever. Let me get back to work. So I turned around to work again. And then, a few months later, I don't know exactly how much later, me and the same shift leader were working, and this was kind of the point where everything kind of changed on it. But like, I thought, at the time I smoked, and I don't smoke anymore, but at the time I smoked, and I had to go ask permission to go out and smoke a cigarette. So I was working, and I was like, I just really want a cigarette. So I thought I'd seen my shift leader walk into the office. So I walk up there, and I'm like, hey, Chris, and I'm, you know, look in the office, and nobody's there. I was like, huh. So I just seen him walk in the office. And the shift leaders wore black shirts and black pants, and the crew members wore black shirts with red sleeves and black pants. And so you couldn't really, it wasn't any kind of distinct color, they're just black. So I thought he just kind of swung around the corner and went into the office. And that was this figure that I always seen there. It was just a little black figure that just moved. And I mean, it wasn't like it, you know, light speed or anything. It would just move across your peripherals, or sometimes right in front of you, and you're not focused on that time, and you're just like, wait, what was that, you know? So I walk into the lobby to see if he's like mopping or cleaning off tables or something, and he is not. So I walk to the bathroom, and there he is in the bathroom, please. So I'm like looking at him, and he's like, why do you have that weird look on your face? And I was like, I don't know. I could have swore I seen you walk in the office a second ago. And he said, nah, dude, I've been in here for like 10 minutes. I was like, okay. And I was like, well, what'd you need? And I was like, can I go outside and smoke a cigarette? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to come out there with you. And he didn't smoke. He just liked to come outside and get some fresh air sometimes. Get out of that pooped up store where it's really hot with the grill, and then they just like get out of there and go outside, you know, talk for a second. And so he starts asking me what it was I'd seen and everything. And I thought, I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, I've seen it in my peripherals. I thought it was somebody walking into the office. And he was like, you know, I've seen that before, too. And then I was like, huh, that's weird. And he said, there's a lot of people who have. And he said that a lot of people believe this store was haunted. In a time, I didn't really believe in that kind of thing, you know, it's like, you know, whatever. And he said that one girl that he knew, he was really close to her, and he was in love with her, but they didn't get the chance to be together. She was killed in a car crash, and she worked there at the time. And I never met her. She was killed before I started working there. And he said that he believed it was her. And nobody has ever had anything weird, to my knowledge, that happened to them while they were there working. But everybody who has worked at night has seen that, or early morning, even. Because I've had friends that open, and they've seen it that early in the morning. Because you have to be there at 3:30 in the morning to open. So, you know, I thought it was kind of weird. Well, then, you know, flash forward a little while, a couple of years, and I'm dating this girl, and my roommate's dating this girl, and all four of us work, you know. Well, she, both of the girls that we were dating were ship leaders, and he and I were crew trainers training to be ship leaders. And we ended up quitting before we were ship leaders, but they were there, and then so one night I was closing, and my girlfriend was my ship leader that night, and that was kind of frowned upon. They weren't going to fire us for it, because we were all really hard workers and everything, and we didn't let our personal lives come into the work area, so they were kind of cool with it, but they just kind of didn't want us to do it, they were cool with it. So we're working one night, and I seen somebody up front again, and at this time she was walking, she was back at the computer on the, it was like at the, you have to take tests and stuff every so often. We get a new product or something like that. You have to watch a video on it, take a test on it. And she was there, and she stood up and started walking towards the front. And I went over to wash my hands, and I looked over, and nobody was there. And I was like, you know, what, is there somebody else here? I thought I'd seen somebody in here. And she said, you saw that too? And I was like, huh. I was like, is that the first time you've seen it? She was like, no. She was like, I'll be here a lot of nights and just randomly see somebody walking across the floor and or walking towards the cooler or wherever, just walking a little bit, and then I turn and look, and they're gone. And I was like, but you can't make out a figure, right? She was like, yeah, it's just like a little black, looks like a person, just a little black shape just moving. So I don't know. It's, there's been, you know, countless people I've talked to about it. They're like, yeah, I've seen that too. You know, I got, you know, friends and stuff. But I don't know that it's necessarily haunted. I don't know what to make of it. I don't want to hear your guys' opinions on it or, you know, anything. Just to hear if there's any kind of thing that's like can confirm that that's a haunting, because nothing really scary has happened. It's just kind of, you just see it every now and then. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I haven't looked too much into that type of haunting. I've done some pretty dark things, but not something there that you just see. I don't know. It was kind of weird. Nothing was ever, like, randomly misplaced. Nothing was ever knocked over or nothing weird happened. Nothing ever turned on, off and on, or nobody ever got pushed. No, I don't know. It's weird. And I just kind of wanted to share that story and hear you guys' take on it, and, you know, anybody else who's going to have a take on it, hear that, you know. But anyway, thanks for the time. Hopefully I can hear both of my stories on the show, and hopefully I'll be able to call back and share some more. I enjoy it. I enjoy sharing my stories, and I enjoy anything paranormal now. So you guys have a great day, and thanks for the show. I plan on becoming an EVP soon, really soon. Don't know when yet, but really, really soon. Maybe this afternoon soon. I don't know. maybe this afternoon, maybe next month. I don't know, but soon. Keep doing the show, please. I love it. A lot of people love it. Really enjoyable show. You guys are great. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your experience with us here on the show.
I'm pretty sure that it just sounds like a classic shadow person.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, it's not moving things. I mean, not every ghost moves everything. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's some sort of energy that enjoys frequenting that restaurant, and it may be from whatever the building was previously. It may be an object in the building that has brought it in. It may be a person that is in that building on a frequent basis that has brought it in. But you're seeing something. There's some sort of energy there moving around.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily, based on that call, think it's anything that necessarily needs to be really, you need to be scared of or anything of that nature. But you certainly have a ghost of some sort that's at least wreaking havoc with your mind a little bit when you're thinking there's someone up there waiting to be served and there's no one there.
Well, and I wonder if he asked the shift manager if this went on before that mm-hmm. employee that was killed in the car accident,
yeah.
if anything like that happened before,
yeah,
or if it's all been just after.
That could be an answer there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Look into that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Edgar in Florida.
Good morning. My name is Edgar. I'm from Miami, Florida. I've never experienced anything paranormal that I can think about until a recent conversation with some folks at an animal shelter that I used to work at. I'm an animal control officer myself. And I was conversating with one of the gentlemen who's been working there for years. And he used to work the night shift. And he explained to me that during the night shift, he would see shadows moving through hallways. In the dog kennel runs, he would see shadows moving through there as well. He said he would hear voices. He would hear doors opening and closing. But the whole time that he heard this, there was nobody in the animal shelter but himself. Another gentleman who worked there, same thing. He's seen shadows moving through the kennels. And I'm not talking about moving behind or in front of the, moving through the kennels, like where the dogs are at. The shadow would walk right through the middle and then come out to the other end. There is a rumor, I'm not sure if it's true or not, that there was a gentleman who hung himself in the lobby area. The shelter's been around apparently since the 50s, from what I'm understanding. But this is the county shelter here in Miami. Now, my experience was, I believe it was the first year I was working there, I was on the night shift. I wasn't too crazy about that, but hey, I had to do what I had to do. And one night I was coming in, I came in through the back, and I came right alongside the hallway where A ward is. Now, A ward, unfortunately, is the room where they do take animals to be put down. And on this one night when I was walking by, I noticed the door was vibrating. Not the door handle was jiggling, but the door itself, like somebody was behind it and trying to, you know, pull it at the same time. It was just really strange the way it was moving. I didn't think anything of it. There's AC in that room. I thought maybe the AC unit was causing that. But it was doing it so violently and it moved so loud, you know, making a loud noise, that I just thought that's what it was until I had the conversation about the sighting there. I have had other coworkers who have worked there who have told me that at nighttime when they've been there, because they've worked late, they've felt the presence or just gets really, really eerie in there. So I don't know if you guys can find any information on anything that's happened there in the past, but that'd be great to find out. Well, thank you. You guys take care. And thanks for what you do. Bye-bye.
It's really a challenge in looking something up like that, because a lot of times if a suicide happens, most of the time it's kind of kept, you know, off of public record.
Yeah.
Especially something that may be going back to the 50s.
Sure.
So that would be a real challenge to find out. But my thought was, do spirits feed off of the energy of animals too?
Sure.
So that would be a place that would probably hold quite a bit of scared energy.
I would think I was just thinking as I was listening to that call, and as he was saying what was, you know, in that room and what goes on there, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
It's just you have that, you know, that energy there that, you know, and that's a difficult thing to have to be the person that is, you know, medically putting down the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals themselves, you know, that energy where suddenly life is over. They probably don't even realize it. It's probably very much like a human.
Mm-hmm.
When something happens and they're suddenly gone and don't realize it. There's confused energy.
Yeah.
And I could see that all, you know, being very much a very ripe location for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah.
You know, very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us here on the show. 855-853-4802, our phone number. If you like the show, please help us keep it on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes every single week. All the previous ones, a full archive of those episodes, some excellent stories on there, and exclusive video content and more. You sign up on the website, Real Ghost Stories Online. That's how this show lives on. So please consider supporting it. If you like it, it's only $5 a month. And thank you in advance for doing just that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.